Welcome to Making Your Impact, a podcast to inspire and equip you to pursue your calling and make your positive impact on the world. I'm your host, Melissa Ike. I have a passion for making an impact, and I also have a passion for helping you make yours. So let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Making Your Impact. I'm very, very glad to have you here today. For those of you who are new here, my name is Melissa Ike. I'm a co-founder and the director of communications and development for the Dragonfly Home, a nonprofit in Oklahoma City that serves survivors of human trafficking. I'm also a writer, speaker, and attorney, and you can learn more about me at melissaike.com. That's Melissa, E-I-C-K.com. Today is both the last episode of the season before a fall hiatus, and it's also the fifth Wednesday of September, which means it's a Just for Fun episode. So we've got a couple things to unpack there. First, the last two falls that I have been doing this podcast, the fall is just an impossible time for me to keep up. It coincides with my nonprofit's biggest event of the season, which I play a big role in. And then it moves right into end of year giving season, the holidays. And it just always ends up becoming a frustrating time because I want to do this podcast, but I just don't have the time or energy to do anything extra. I fall behind, et cetera, et cetera. And so I decided at the beginning of this year, you know what? We're just going to take a fall hiatus with this podcast. Why not? We will be back with more episodes starting in January. And so that's what it is. That's the new rhythm for the Making Your Impact podcast. It'll keep it sustainable and it will reduce my stress level while I get to continue bringing you inspiration and ideas to equip you to pursue your calling and make a positive difference in the world, which is really what we want. And now the Just for Fun episode tradition. I started this tradition in 2020, where if the podcast episode falls on the fifth Wednesday of the month, we would do something a little bit different. I decided to do that because of something I had personally experienced. I've got my favorite productivity YouTubers and podcasters, motivational people who I follow, who have helped me grow in making my impact. But I gotta tell you, sometimes when I'm in a period of pushing myself and maximizing my time and doing everything I can, giving everything I've got to carry out what I want to accomplish in life, sometimes listening to those episodes can be a little overwhelming. It can become too much. And I just need to take a little bit of a break to listening to more strategies for pushing myself harder when I feel like I'm already maxing out my energy. You know, I still love those podcasters, those YouTubers, and I enjoy keeping up with their lives. And I always go back and listen or watch, you know, to catch up on what I missed when I was taking a break. But something that always remains true is even if I needed a break from kind of the motivational pep talk and strategies, I always love to hear like about their lives or just fun things that they want to talk about. And so that's where this idea came from. I thought instead of sharing strategies on a Just for Fun episode, which just happens a few times a year, I'm just gonna talk about what I wanna talk about. It's also become a really good time for me to share parts of interviews where I was just chatting with my guests, and it maybe was a little off topic, or it was just about something they're passionate about, something that they really enjoy. In the Just for Fun episode I did in summer of 2020, I had snippets of interviews with Janie Mary, where we talked about how much she loves manga. And I had a snippet of an interview with Taylor Wood, where she talked about her passion for running, doing a triathlon or running a half marathon, something like that in every state, which is what she and her husband had embarked upon doing. And so I saved those just fun snippets of episodes for this special kind of episode. So I've got one of those today. I'm going to share a snippet of an interview with Mike Snowden. He and I, toward the end of our conversation, just started talking about music. Mike loves music. A lot of the people in my family are very into music, and some of those interests overlap. And we just started swapping stories about music-related things that our families have done or that he and his wife had done. And it was just fun. There was a brush with celebrity story. So I saved that fun part of the interview just for this episode. So let's listen to the snippet of an interview. How many times have I said snippet? A lot, I bet, at this point. Let's listen to this snippet with Mike Snowden. What music have you been listening to these days? Anything in particular?
Unfortunately, my music never changes. I try to get involved in new music, but it always sort of ends up back at Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones and okay. John Lennon yeah. and the Beatles. And I branch off some, mm-hmm. but I always seem to end up back at the same place. Those guys that had something to say politically.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, it's sort of off the subject a little bit. This weekend, the Tulsa University Institute for Bob Dylan Studies is having a webinar.
Wow.
All weekend, including Monday, on Bob Dylan Studies. And they have guest speakers. And so I enrolled for no reason other than I'd like to hear what other people think about him. But wow. So right now I'm in a Dylan phase.
Sure. You got to prepare yourself mentally for it.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing at the University of Tulsa. How cool.
They have the Bob Dylan Institute. They have all of his records and not LPs, recording contracts and articles and information about him and whatever, mm-hmm. You know, like a presidential library, but it's Bob Dylan stuff.
I don't know
how it ended up at TU.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, Tulsa has this interesting, rich musical history that people who know stuff about music know about, but a lot of people, other people don't. I don't know if that has something to do with it or not.
I've studied the Tulsa sound and some musicians from Tulsa, but I don't think Bob Dylan has a connection there that I'm aware of.
Huh.
I believe if somebody hears this and knows what the connection is, it'd be fascinating to hear.
Reach out to Mike on Facebook.
Exactly.
Well, here's my question. It's a question with a purpose. Do you have any familiarity with the music of Henry Nilsson? Harry Nilsson.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
There is a song of his that was recently featured on a silly show on Netflix called Space Force, which is, it starts
I've heard
to
of
corral.
Space Force.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it spoofs the actual Space Force. And the song Spaceman by Harry Nilsson bookends that show. Mike, I cannot get that song out of my head. I listen to it on a loop. I love it. I know it backwards and forwards now. And I didn't know who else to ask who might be familiar with
Amazing.
It.
Amazing. I'm not familiar with the exact song.
Yeah.
Harry Nilsson was John Lennon's best friend.
Really?
He was admired and at a certain point post Beatles, John Lennon and Yoko Ono agreed to a trial separation, which was so bizarre because Yoko Ono basically assigned him a girlfriend who worked for them, another young Asian female, and she and John moved to California and basically lived with Harry Nilsson. And
that,
he called it his lost weekend, even though it was more like a year.
Wow.
and a year or two younger to maybe know the reference. He and Harry Nilsson and John Lennon went to a Smothers Brothers concert.
Okay, I've heard of that.
They were brothers, comedians. They were on, had a show and they got thrown out of the club for heckling the Smothers Brothers. So yes, I'm not familiar with the song. I'm very familiar with Harry Nilsson.
With the guy. Okay, yeah. That's funny. I'm going to ask my dad if he knows that story.
I bet he does. If he ever watched the Smothers Brothers, they were pretty radical.
Were they?
Now we look at them and think how quaint they're wearing suits and ties and they're clean cut. But much like Laugh-In, they were very radical for their day.
Yeah. I'll ask my dad and his brother who lives with my parents now. It seems like the kind of thing they would know about. Well, and then also, though, my dad has just read a lot about musicians as well. So the next time you see my parents, assuming that happens, you can talk to my dad, not about baseball, but definitely about music. Yeah.
I would love to. I felt always after I met him the first time that I had disappointed him because I didn't know anything about the Yankees.
No. No way.
And so when he was talking to me, he finally realized I didn't really follow baseball very much.
Yeah.
But what an amazing man, and your mom is so sweet and kind. And so, yeah, maybe we could hit it, start a conversation about.
Oh yeah. So he has read a lot about the Beatles, as far as I know, and then maybe skews me the generation before that. So like a lot about Buddy Holly. Who else? Now I'm blanking.
No,
maybe the Beach Boys.
Carl Perkins and Buddy Holly and Elvis and early rock and roll
guys. But I know that I believe he likes Bob Dylan, at least to a degree, you know, like knows enough about him and that crossover. And then my oldest brother loves Bob Dylan. My oldest brother got my mom the Bob Dylan Christmas CD for Christmas one year. And she was like, okay. And then he made us all listen to it. It was funny.
Bob Dylan, seriously, is hard to love. Hmm. About the time you think you've got him figured out, he changes completely. Hmm. And he's done that his whole career. He really resented the whole, at least in his writing, he resented the whole counterculture leading the march against Vietnam and those protest songs that he was associated with. He would say frequently something like, you don't know what I was thinking when I wrote that song, and you're assigning that role to me, and I don't want to be in that role.
Wow.
Very, very complicated man.
Yeah.
Interesting career, interesting choice of, you know, at one time he recorded nothing but Christian albums.
Yep. So my pastor in Iowa, when he got to know my dad some, he was very familiar with those.
He was very, very evangelical. Very fire and brimstone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Preaching from the stage. And a lot of his fans left. And then if they know Dylan, they just waited a minute and he went on to something else. And
that's all good. That's funny.
Approve it. But behind the plastic marijuana plant is a John Lennon.
Okay.
And then Abbey Road.
And we've been there too.
Is up there. I felt so sorry for my mom. Last time we went to England, she was having a little difficulty to get around, but we walked an incredibly long ways to get to Abbey Road because I thought it was closer than it was.
Yeah. Oh, well, when we were in London, we went there too. Yeah. Did I ever tell you about how my dad and I went into Abbey Road Studios?
Did you? And they let you.
Okay. So here's.
Okay.
So you got to know Mike Ike, my dad, right? So
I've met him.
Yep.
He's a fascinating guy.
He sure is. So we walk up to the actual Abbey Road Studios. It's just, as you know, it's just in a residential neighborhood and the gate to the driveway was open. My dad's like, oh, I wonder if we can go in. Maybe they have tours. And I was like, yeah, maybe. My mom was like, no way, I'm not going. So my dad and I are like, well, it can't hurt to ask. This is the benefit of being around my dad. It can't hurt to ask, right?
Why not?
So we go up the driveway. My dad rings the buzzer. And a guy, you know, responds. He's like, hi, we're here. I was just wondering, you know, do you offer tours or can we come in and look around or anything like that? And the guy's like, okay, sure. And buzzes us in. And we're like, okay, cool. So we go into just the front room and there's just one guy there working behind a front desk. And, you know, behind the front desk, it says Abbey Road Studios and like metallic letters. And he says, oh, there's like some piece of maybe like old recording equipment. And he says something about the recording equipment that my dad understood. And so we're looking around the front area and do you remember there was a British artist that was popular at the time named Robbie Williams?
Yeah.
Robbie Williams was due to record there that day. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. So my dad says to the guy, well, how many people do you get every day asking you to, you know, let them in to come and see? And the guy's face changes and he goes, you're actually the first. And he kind of runs his hand through his hair and he goes, I might get in trouble for this. And then I look at my dad and I look at him and I say, oh, sir, well, thank you so much. This is my dad's 60th birthday. I'm trying to make him feel better about this terrible decision he's made. I'm like, this is my dad's 60th birthday trip. It's been his lifelong dream to come here. And the guy's like, oh, that's great. And my dad says, can I take a photo of you in front of the sign? And the guy goes, oh, no, no, no. He's like, he leaps from behind the desk. He's like, go ahead and take a picture of it. And then my dad and I were like, okay, thank you so much. Bye.
He needs deniability.
Yeah, exactly.
He let two crazy Americans into
exactly.
the
studio. But wow. I mean, that is so... Because but he just asked.
But I adore people like that that just go for right. it. And it's right. like, what are they? The worst they could say was no.
We don't give tours. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
But just even walk up the driveway, this is amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny.
And I have learned as I get older, you can get away with more.
You can get away with stuff.
Because you appear sort of half respectable.
Well, and then here's a story from earlier. My grandma, his mom, was the world's biggest Roy Acuff fan.
Oh, my.
Loved mm-hmm. him. Listened to the Opry all the time. Would, you know, this was like the 60s and 70s. So she would crochet gifts and send Christmas cards to him and his wife in Nashville. And they took a family trip. This was before I was born. They took a trip to Nashville and they went on like a celebrity home tour. Bus tour, and they drove by Roy Acuff's house, and so naturally my dad wrote down the cross streets and then found it on a map, and then they drove to his house later on, and my dad walked my grandma up to the front of this mansion, rang the doorbell, a maid answered the door. Roy was not in that day, but his wife was, and so my grandma got to meet Roy Acuff's wife because they just walked up to the door, and she's like, oh, I've sent you these things. And his wife was super nice to her. The power of just having the guts to ask.
I suspect that doesn't happen very often. And so people are really open to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Beatles had throngs and throngs and throngs. But who would ever think of going to Roy Acuff's house?
Right. Right. A very odd person.
Amazing. Right. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I just like everyone, get starstruck. Although I've never really met anyone other than my wife and I were in the airport in Detroit waiting for a plane. And I said, I think that's Senator Biden standing at the Sunglass Hut.
Oh, wow.
And I said, no, because he's running for president. And so... he would have a whole entourage.
Right.
But I looked and I thought, well, it might be. And so I said, no. And even if it is, I don't want to bother him. So yeah. We kept walking. And my wife says, you're going to hate yourself if that is and you didn't introduce yourself. So turned around and walked up to him. I said, Senator Biden? And his eyes lit up and he's so charismatic and so... sort of genuinely friendly. Mm-hmm. And I bet we talked to him for 15 minutes or so.
Wow.
But he asked what we did. And my wife said she was a teacher and he just lit up.
Right.
My wife is a teacher. And so they had an amazing conversation. And I don't know if he would, but he gave you the impression that 10 years later, if you saw him, he would remember,
mm-hmm.
maybe not the details, but if he said, I met you in the airport in Detroit, he would remember. He just gave you that impression.
Right. What year was that, Mike?
Oh, I don't know. I have to figure it out. He was still in the Senate, uh-huh. running for president, maybe the first time.
Like 2008, maybe? Against
that sounds
Obama
about
and
right.
Clinton and, okay.
We were... I don't even remember where we were going. When we have opportunity, we go to the East Coast as much as we can, and it's mm-hmm. beautiful. We don't aren't that familiar. My wife is so. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know. Probably that would be her preferred destination.
but it's fun. It's different.
But we got out of here a while and enjoyed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So but I can't say I've ever met a star.
Me neither.
Like a musician or. Mm-mm. Now, I will tell you this. The Bureau of Narcotics in their Infinite Wisdom sent me to Boston to the Senior Management Institute for Police.
Okay.
Incredibly thinking I might be senior management material. And it was 3 weeks. So the day I get there, we're staying at Boston University dormitories.
Wow.
Right on that beautiful, I think it's the Charles, it's a river through Boston. And I realize as I check into the dorm that, and this will give away a lot of how nerdy I am, I realize that that street address is the same as Aerosmith's first apartment.
How on earth did you know that?
I remember incredibly stupid things. And I had recently read a biography of Aerosmith, and I thought, well, this is on the same street. And I couldn't remember the 100 block exactly, but I knew it was a certain direction because the numbers got bigger that direction. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to use the subway yet. I didn't know how the buses worked. But I had literally just checked into the dorm. So I started walking, and it seemed like miles. Mm-hmm. And I found Aerosmith's first apartment building. Wow. Where they lived together as a group.
Sure.
And as they started to become famous. So I'm standing there looking at it, and a young man walks out, half my age, and he says, "Sir, you know they don't live here anymore." And I laughed and acknowledged that I was a little bit of a dork. And he said, "Do you want me to take your picture?" Oh, I would be thrilled. Thank you very much. And so I handed him my state-issued cell phone.
Wow.
And backed up against the building as he backed up against the curb. Uh-huh. And the picture he took is hilarious because I had this look on my face that I just gave away my state-issued cell phone to someone who was probably going to start running at any moment and steal my phone.
Right.
And I knew without a doubt I couldn't catch him. And so I was envisioning the phone call I was going to have to make to the agency telling them I had just lost my phone on your first day
of the Senior Management Academy.
Fortunately, the young man was gracious, and he took my picture and he handed me the phone back, and I was so relieved.
Yeah.
But that was the closest I came to rock and roll fame.
That's pretty good.
Aerosmith's first apartment.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
It was. I thought it was. Use that picture.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's in my rock and roll
slide. Of course it is.
Rock and roll presentation. And I tell that story because I'm trying to illustrate that I'm a complete dork.
Sure.
Nerd when it comes to rock and roll. Yeah. I'm fascinated.
You're legit. History. You're teaching the class because you went to those lengths.
I went to
for the music.
First apartment. Yeah.
Right.
Subsequently, my wife and I traveled through Mississippi to research the blues and take mm-hmm. pictures. And she's very, very gracious about
yes,
it.
Yes. I can see that about her.
Although we stopped at the Mississippi State Penitentiary, there's a median in the road, and that penitentiary is called, in slang, is called Parchman Farm. And in lots and lots of blues and rock and roll songs, they sing about Parchman Farm. Hmm. And the sign in the median said, "Do not stop here and take pictures." So, of course, we did.
Sure.
And as I was taking the picture, a man walked out of the guard shack in the front of the prison and started yelling at me to get away. And I jumped in the passenger side of the car, and I yelled at my accomplice in crime. I said, "Bonnie, get us out of here." And her name's not Bonnie.
But sure.
Bonnie and Clyde, right? And my wife proved to me that the car will run with the cruise control on at 40 mile an hour.
Okay.
She's not exactly the best getaway driver I've ever seen. She signals, and she's slow, and she's polite, and she was waving at the guard, and it did sort of lessen the criminality of what I had just done.
Sure. How do you get mad at a sweet woman, which is what your wife is?
Yes.
You can't help but smile.
No, she's very sweet. Yeah. Not criminal material.
No, certainly not.
Not a getaway driver. So from then on, I learned if I'm going to do something like that, I need to drive.
Keep the car running.
Yeah.
Keep the door open.
Just don't leave while I'm out commuting.
Right. I love it. And now just a couple of things that I want to draw your attention to before we wrap up. Number one, tomorrow night is the Dragonfly Homes 6th annual Crown of Beauty Gala. And you, for just $25, if you would like to watch and learn more about my nonprofit that I co-founded, our work in serving survivors of human trafficking, see some great performances, hear great messages, and just be a part of something that will change lives of human trafficking survivors, you can get a ticket to our professional live stream of the whole event. It's just $25. You can just sit back and relax in your home. We will send you a link before it begins tomorrow, and you can get your ticket at thedragonflyhome.org/gala, G-A-L-A. I just wanted to throw that out there in case that's something that would interest you. You can watch from anywhere in the world. And like I mentioned, this is the last episode of the season. Thank you so much to everyone who has listened to any part of it. I could not be more thankful. It means a lot to me. This season, I branched out with my guests, which was one of my 21 for 2021 resolutions. And I interviewed some people whom I know, but who I don't get to talk to for an extended period of time usually. And it was so lovely to get to chat with every single person, learn more about what's important to them, and just spend a little time talking. I am so looking forward to getting to do this again next year. I already have a lot of plans for next year, and I'm planning on spending NaNoWriMo, which is technically National Novel Writing Month. I am going to use it to get to work on next season's podcast. That's what I'll be doing all November long so that I can start bringing you episodes in January to inspire and equip you to pursue your calling and make a positive difference in the world. And with that, let's wrap up today's episode with your impact highlights. Did you think that just because it's a Just for Fun episode, there would not be impact highlights? Oh, I've got impact highlights. Absolutely, I do. Number one, do what it takes to keep making your impact sustainably, even if that means taking a break from it every so often. Two, think about the times of year when you are consistently the busiest and plan making your impact around those times, being careful not to overextend yourself. Three, on the other hand, think about the times of year when you're consistently not so busy and think about how you could maximize how you're making your impact at that time. And four, even when we're focused on making our impact, it's important to do some things just for fun. You like how I wrap that up? You like how I took the title of the episode and wrapped it up into the impact highlights? I thought of that off the top of my head, my friends. Just an excellent end to the season. I would love to know which of these impact highlights resonates with you the most. You can leave your answer to that question on the post for this episode on my social media platforms by searching Melissa Eick, E-I-C-K, on Facebook and Instagram, and at MJ Eick on Twitter. I'll be back next year with more to inspire and equip you to pursue your calling and make a positive difference in the world. Until then, please subscribe to this podcast to get inspired. And remember that the world needs you to make your impact.